You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Patricia McAllister, who gained swift celebrity on the internet in a video where she stated, "I think that the Zionist Jews who are running these big banks and our Federal Reserve, which is not run by the federal government, they need to be run out of this country." Patricia, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you. Hello.
Many, many people across the United States and the world saw your video, and of course, it's not even 20 seconds long. Tell the listeners how it was that you actually came to be interviewed. Where were you, and who were these people who interviewed you?
Well, I, like other Americans, I saw on the television Occupy Wall Street in New York. So I was very interested in that and very supportive because I think something has to be done in this country. So I heard on the news that we had an Occupy Los Angeles movement going on here. So I was not busy one day. I took my lawn chair and went out there and just sat. And I had a sign, and a reporter came up to me hours later and asked me some questions, and that's how that happened. I just told him what I thought about the entire movement, and one of the questions led up to what I did say about running the Jews out of America.
Okay. And do you remember what your sign was that you were holding up? What did it say?
Yes, my sign was about the Los Angeles Unified School District. My sign said that they stole my money, which that's a whole other story, but I've been having money problems getting paid by the Los Angeles Unified School District. So that's what my sign was basically about. And it was about education, how our children need education, that our system should not cut funds for education. So my whole theme was education.
Okay. And are you a native of the Los Angeles area?
No, I was born and raised in Chicago, but I've been here about 8 years now.
You're out there protesting like so many Americans have been lately. I actually was in Zuccotti Park near the Wall Street area this past Monday on the one-month anniversary, and it was an amazing scene. So I imagine there was similar energy in the air when you guys were protesting. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Lots of energy. People with signs about the parents lost their homes through the foreclosure scandals, relatives without health insurance. I even met one nice lady, 78 years old, and she's still paying her student loan. They take it from her Social Security, and she says she's still working, trying to pay it off. So I met some interesting people.
Yep, the student loan thing is something pretty serious that most people don't realize. There aren't the consumer protections in those loans. Even if the student passes on, which has happened, unfortunately, several times, if the parents are co-signers on the loan, they're going to be chased for this money, even if their child is dead.
That's right.
It's sad. So what was the day that this protest was happening? Do you remember the exact date?
Well, the video went up on that Friday, and he actually interviewed me October the 13th, and he put the video up, I think, the 15th or something like that.
Okay, so that was Thursday the 13th. He put it up
either
Friday or Saturday. Okay.
Right, on YouTube.
Okay. Now, what you said in there would be alien to most Americans because they're not educated into the way that the United States really functions and who's in charge and the power centers. But how is it that you came about your opinion? What have you studied? What do you read? What do you watch?
Well, like I said earlier, I grew up in Chicago. I was born there, and at that time, our community had all Jewish merchants. Everyone was Jewish. Our doctors, our lawyers, all the storekeepers. As a matter of fact, we had a part of town where I lived. They called it Jewtown, and that's where we would go and get all of our clothing and everything. So I was raised around Jews, and from a kid, this is true, I used to ask my mother and parents and everybody, why did Hitler kill the Jews? Because we used to always hear that growing up around Jewish people, and no one ever had an answer for me. So throughout my life, I've been trying to find out why. And later in life, I found out why. And so that has always been a passion for me. So I read a lot about Jewish people, I study them, and I kind of know how they think because I grew up around them. So I didn't quite like the way they handled things in our community, but they were our merchants and friends, so I respected them. But still today, I don't like how they operate. So I'm not afraid of Jewish people because I kind of know them. So the average person might be afraid to say something about them, but I'm not because it's almost like they're my brothers and sisters. I grew up around them. I mean, when we needed money, my parents, you know, my dad worked in pawn shops around Jewish people, so I know them. I don't feel like they're some stranger. And so when they do evil things that I consider to be evil and not good for our country, I'm not afraid to speak out.
Okay. And what was the conclusion that you came to as far as Hitler's motivation?
Well, what I found out was the Jewish practices, the things that they do, how they handle their business, is sort of underhanded, and they don't do things fairly. They've been accused of usury, where they charge excessive monies on interest loans and things of that nature. They've been accused of rigging bids and being dishonest, and as far as business is concerned. And I could go on at the things that they've been accused of, and the fact that Jews have been run out of 109 nations throughout history. So Adolf Hitler was not the first one. Jews have been run out of countries since 520 A.D. I mean, they've been run out of Russia, even in the United States in 1862. Areas in the United States under General Ulysses Grant voided Jews from participating in those areas because Jews were selling ammunition and food and things like that to both sides, and they were responsible for the war going on for as long as it did during the Civil War era. So Jews have a long history of people and countries who just don't like their practices. And I think one of the reasons why we don't like their practices is because they refuse to blend in with the people, learn our customs, and learn how to act civilized. They like to be among themselves, and whenever they go into different countries, they don't want to assimilate. They don't want to blend in. And so they take their way of living, and then they bring it into these countries, and they practically destroy countries. And that's why I think they've been run out of many, many countries throughout history.
Mm-hmm. When you said Zionist Jews, tell the listeners the distinction between Zionist Jews and, I guess, non-Zionist Jews or regular Jews.
Well, the Zionist Jews that I was referring to, and I did say the Zionist Jews who own the Federal Reserve banks. There are many, many hardworking Jewish people in this country and around the world. I am not referring to them. I was only talking about the ones who own the banks. And they are the Zionist Jews who have their allegiance to Israel. That's what I mean when I say Zionist Jews. They're very rich here in this country, and those are the nine banks who are owned by Zionist Jews, and they support Israel. We send billions of dollars over to Israel every year, and so those are the people who are controlling our country. And that's what I meant when I said the Zionist Jews who own the Federal Reserve Bank. And there are the Rothschilds. We have the Rothschild banks, London and Berlin. Then we have the Lazard brothers, the banks of Paris. Third one is the Israel Moses Seth banks of Italy, the Warburg Bank of Hamburg and Amsterdam, Lehman Brothers of New York, Kung Low Bank of New York. Now it's called Shearson American Express. Then number seven, we have Goldman Sachs of New York, the National Bank of Commerce in New York. And then the last one is Hanover Trust in New York. That's owned by the William and David Rockefeller and Chase shareholders. Those are the nine Federal Reserve Jewish-owned banks that we have, and they run this nation. They print our money. Congress is the only one who's supposed to print our money. They print our money. They determine what our interest rates will be. They determine how much money gets into our economy. They loan money to the government. They print it. They have these Federal Reserve offices, buildings in different cities. They print the money. Then they loan the money to the United States government, our White House. And then they give the money to us, the government. Taxes. Our taxes are paying the money back. That's why they started the IRS. They created the IRS so that when they print the money and give it to our government, we pay it back through the IRS. They take the money. They own the banks, all nine of them. They take the money we pay back and stuff it in their pockets, and the other money goes to their shareholders. We as citizens cannot buy shares of the Federal Reserve. They're the ones who own it. They get the money. Whoever prints the money of a country, whoever controls the money, they control the government. They control that country. That's why our politicians, including our president, they're nothing but puppets. They do not even have the authority to audit the Federal Reserve Bank. Our Congress and our president, no one. It's a private institution. And I'm saying this private institution has no business. Our forefathers who founded this country, they did not want this country to have a private bank like the Federal Reserve Bank. And they knew that it would be the destruction of this nation. And so I'm saying we need to get the Federal Reserve, shut it down, move in our Congress, and take it over, and they should be the ones who print and handle our money, not nine Zionist Jew banks.
Very well said. Now, could it have been said without using the term Zionist Jew?
No.
Okay.
Because that's what they are. I had someone ask me the day I was down at the school district. They said, "Miss McAllister, can you just take out the word Jew and just say Zionist?" I said, "No, I have to put them together because that's what they are. They're Zionist and they're Jewish. Why would I change it to make someone feel good? The truth sometimes does not feel good, but you have to tell it." And I think that's what's wrong with the Jewish people. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't want to be called on it. If you call them on what they're doing, it could be the truth, nothing but the truth. They will jump on you, get angry with you. I said it not to hurt anyone. I said that there are Zionist Jews because it's the truth. And I'm not going to change that. If I change it, that means that I am giving in to what they want to hear and not the truth. If I've gone this far, why should I now cow down and say, no, it's not Zionists or they're not Jews? And I told the lady who asked me to take Jews off the sign, I said, no, I cannot do that.
So instead of saying, I think that the Zionist Jews are running these big banks on our Federal Reserve, if you said, I think that the people who are running these big banks on our Federal Reserve, that just wouldn't have the impact that your message wanted to portray, right? Is that what you're saying?
You're right. You're right. It would not have. It would have just gone by just like that. But since I put Zionist Jews, it makes a lot of difference because I'm telling the people who these people are. I'm amazed at the fact that most of Americans don't know that the Federal Reserve Bank is not owned by the federal government. And that's what the Federal Reserve Bank owners did. They used that name because they wanted to fool or trick the American people into thinking that the Federal Reserve Bank was owned by the federal government when it's not. And that is very scary. I've talked to some teachers. I said, did you know that the Federal Reserve Bank is privately owned? They argue me down. No, it's not. Now, these are supposed to be teachers. So Americans need to know what's going on. Whoever prints a country's money, they run the country. And they have been quoted as saying such. We don't care who runs the country as long as we print the money.
Right.
So there's power in that.
Prior to all this happening, you worked for the Los Angeles Unified School District. Is that right?
Yes, for about 6 years as a substitute teacher. I'm a math teacher. I owned a school in Chicago. I'm a software engineer. My degree is in computer science from Chicago State University. And in Chicago, I started a school. I had it for about 11 years where I taught adults how to write software applications, how to become programmers. So I did that for about 11 years. And here in Los Angeles, I've been teaching in the inner city, and we call it South Central, for about 6 years. I've been teaching mathematics and other subjects.
For 6 years, you worked for the school district, right?
That's right. Uh-huh.
Okay. And how was it working for them? You're happy?
Well, it's pretty good. The only problem I had was trying to get paid. I mean, I just got paid in August for work I did in February with the district. So something is happening with the system here in Los Angeles, if it's corruption or what. But I think it's corruption within the Los Angeles Unified School District. Funds have been missing. Funds are missing from my retirement, not just mine, other teachers too. It's hard to get paid. We're to be paid on the 5th of each month. We get some on the 5th, some 5 to 7 days later. It's crazy.
Mm.
I don't think we have a shortage of money. I think something else is going on.
And are you part of the union out there, or were you part of the union?
Yes, I'm part of the union, but I don't think we have a union. They collect the dues, but I think they've joined with the school district. I say they've been bought out because teachers are saying that when they call the union with a grievance, the union does not even return your call. They don't handle your cases. So it's clear to many of us that our union has sold us out.
Do you know who the union leaders are, some of their names?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have a complaint filed with EEOC and some other agencies. His name was Duffy, and he just stepped down about a couple of months ago. His tenure ended, and he wrote and signed an agreement, an illegal agreement with the Los Angeles Unified School District. He was the president of the union, and he gave away our seniority, which allowed new teachers to come in and take our seniority and take our jobs. So we have lawsuits going on about that right now.
So you said that for work that you did in February, you didn't get paid until August. Is that right?
That's right. I have to go down there every month just about to get my money. It's really crazy. And I talk to other teachers. They're not being paid right, but they're afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid to speak up. I go down there just about every month. They know me down there at the office. Because if I work for my money, I want it. Then I found out that my retirement money is not right, and they're working on that. And I told the teachers, check your retirement. And some of them found out that that's not correct. So there's a lot going on.
It's a shame that they force people to wait that long for their money. That's actually 6 months. So half a year, money that you need to live, obviously they don't care. And were you working full-time as a substitute teacher?
Yes, most of my income during the year comes from the Los Angeles Unified School District. As a matter of fact, speaking about money, I just got paid for some money this year that I worked last year, about a year and a half ago. What happened was about 3 years ago, the district said its computers went down, and maybe 300,000 teachers, we wake up one morning, we don't have a check. And so we were at the district. It was just crazy. So I went there, and they took me upstairs and sat me down. They said, well, we're going to give you 70% of your pay, and we're going to keep 30%. And when the computers come up, we'll take the taxes and whatever out, and we'll give you your money back. I said, fine. This went on for about 3 months. Well, about 6 months later, I didn't get the money back, the refund. I went down there. I said, you took 30% of my pay. Now I have the rest of that money. The guy in payroll looked me in the face and said, oh, no, you don't get anything back. We did the right thing. I said, excuse me? And so this went on for a year. They denied the fact that I should get some of that back out of the 30%. So I didn't know what to do. I said, this can't be true. I must be dreaming that these people are actually trying to take my money in my face. So what I did, we have a news group on Yahoo for teachers. I went on the web and told my story. I got a check within 2 weeks. Anybody can go on the web and read what we post. So that tells me that we have some gangsters, and I believe that the Zionist Jews are running it. See, they're stealing from all over the place. And I got my money, and it was almost $900. So you multiply that by 300,000 employees, they are making a lot of money on the side over there in that district.
How are the Zionist Jews involved in that? Do they control the...
Yes, most of them are. The man who fired me was Jewish, Mr. Berman, Ira Berman. A lot of Jews are in the district, I believe. And the reason I say that, because I'm looking at the policies and how they handle us, not paying us, laying off 3,000 teachers before the summer, calling them back 2 weeks before school starts, putting fear in the teachers' hearts about their jobs. That's how you put the fear in their hearts, fire them and then hire them back. And especially I see it because of how they're handling and misusing us as far as our pay is concerned.
So the leadership of the unions and the school system are mostly Jews.
Yes, our union president, Duffy, A.J. Duffy, the one who signed that illegal MOU and gave away the substitute teacher seniority, he's Jewish. I grew up around them, and I kind of know, plus it's been verified, because I always check. I don't know why. I just do, because I look at behaviors,
right.
And then I want to know, is this a Jewish person? And usually it is. And I'm not being racist or anything. I'm just being real about it.
Right. No, sure. It's always good to know more rather than less. Duffy doesn't sound
right.
Like a typical Jewish name, however, but that doesn't mean anything, right?
Right. What's happening now is many of them are changing their names because they know with the name Schultz, Rothstein, they know these names, Cohen, that they're Jewish and they don't want to be stereotyped or they don't want people to think that they're not good people. So I had a lady tell me recently, she works in the courts, and she said she was surprised so many Jewish people coming in there changing their names. But they've been doing that throughout history. But yes, they're doing that now. So it's not easy to recognize them by their names anymore.
Right. So you had the sign at this protest on the 13th. Now I'm looking online at another website with a video of you. It's a picture of you holding a yellow sign that says it's blocked a little bit. It says Congress should print the money, not the Zionist Jews, something like that, right?
That's exactly what it says. Congress should print our money, not the Zionist Jews.
When and where was that?
Well, I made that sign the day I was fired, 2 hours after I was fired, which was Tuesday, October 18th, and I was standing in front of the Los Angeles Unified School District's office. Coincidentally, teachers were marching on the district office that day. So the day I was fired, the teachers had a march. So since I was going to the march, I was just right there. The timing was perfect. And when I got there, I had my sign. News reporters ran up to me, told me they were looking for me. They heard I had been fired. So that's when I started interviewing and everything.
So this was after they did the dirty deed.
Right.
Okay. After the 13th, it was thrown up on the internet, either the 14th or the 15th. Of course, you gained instant notoriety. What happened after that? You did this little interview. Like I said, it's only, at least here on this video, it's 18 seconds. It goes up a few days after you did it. What was the first thing that happened that had something to do with that video?
Well, the interview was about 5 minutes long, but I guess he just took that part. And I didn't think anything about it. So that Friday, I was getting calls at 2, 3 in the morning, 6 in the morning, people hanging up. One guy says, we're going to stay on you. We're going to get you. It wasn't a physical threat, but he was saying he's going to nag me and all of that. And I was getting all these crazy calls, so I didn't know what was going on. So I went on the web. I went into YouTube, and just so happened, I don't know how I found it. There I was. I said, oh, geez, well, that's what's happening. So I've been getting calls ever since. I mean, crazy calls. And the calls have stopped somewhat now. Because after I posted that I got fired, it seems like the haters, they're happy now. So I don't get any hate calls, but I still get some emails that are not so nice. And the district has gone on file on the news saying that they fired me. They said they acknowledged that I was on my own time. I said I was on my own time representing myself, but they don't like the fact that I said the words Zionist Jew. And I've had people tell me and write that I should not be punished for my own opinion, that that's my First Amendment right for freedom of speech, that I should be able to say what I want to say, my opinion. And even where I live, I walked in the building, and this guy says, oh, there you are, the troublemaker. I mean, I can't go anywhere anymore. And he was being nice when he said troublemaker. He was smiling and everything, joking. I'm not bothered by it, but wherever I go, people are looking at me, not mean or anything, but I don't quite like the attention. I didn't know I would be getting this kind of attention, but I would still do what I did. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I was being honest about how I felt and how I think. But yes, life has changed a little bit.
Okay, so 13th, the interview is done, the 5-minute interview, the 18-second clip is put on out of the 14th or the 15th. So it was probably the 14th, that was a Friday. Right away at, you said, 2, 3 in the morning, you got your first call. I guess you were asleep?
Yes, I was asleep. Then I got another one at 6 o'clock, and it was on and on. I would just hang up. It was so many. One time, I wouldn't even answer the phone. I just hit the button and just let it go. I wasn't afraid or anything. I just guess I was a little surprised, but not afraid. Mm. Not afraid. Not at all.
How do you think they got your phone number?
That's my question. I didn't even call my phone company. I said, why? Because I know there are websites out there that you can pay a few dollars and they'll pull up anything, because I've seen it. So that's how. You pay like $5 or $6 and they'll give you people's phone numbers. I think they were even giving you the address. I'm not sure about the address, but I know you can get the phone number and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's how they did it.
Okay. Do you think these were Jews who were calling you?
Some of them had to be. They were so mean. One guy says, I'm going to hound you. You said this about the Jews, you this and that. Yes. And I could see on my ID, they were calling from all around the country. And I could tell there's someone from New York, you know, that accent, and they were all over. So it got to the point when I'd answer the phone, I would say, are you friend or foe? And one lady said, oh, I'm nice. I said, are you a nice person or a mean person? And she said, oh, I'm nice. I just want to ask some questions. So, I mean, I did answer some of the calls. I talked to some of the people who were nice. The ones who weren't nice, I'd just say bye, you know, and hang up.
So they didn't even care about their number showing up on caller ID.
Oh, this call right here. One man called. I was on the web when he called about 1:30 in the morning. And I knew he was mad because he started off, yeah, you sent, and I just hung up, you know. And then he called back. I just hit the button, release call. I mean, it's been crazy.
So are you thinking about changing your number?
Not at all. Since I got fired and I put it on the web and it was in the news, they don't call anymore. So they're happy.
All right, good. So they started calling on the 14th. And
right.
That was, of course, Friday. When did you have to speak with the people from the L.A. Unified School District?
Okay, what happened was, I talked to them that Tuesday. What happened was, I get job assignments. We have a phone system. So I went in to check my assignments, and it said that you are on inactive status. Call your supervisor. It was an automatic message, recorded message. I said, So I called the supervisor, and they said, let me transfer you to somebody else. So they transferred me to one of the bosses, and she said, call upstairs. I called upstairs. He was the director of human resources, and they told me to come on in. They wanted to meet with me. He's in charge of the employee relations. He's the director, Ira Berman. And I went in, and they called me into a meeting, two of them, and I think the whole thing took 45 seconds. We sat down. He gave me his business card, and he said, you're no longer working for the school district. And I said, can you tell me why? He says, no, we don't want to tell you anything. You're just not working here anymore. I said, well, I at least need an explanation, don't I? No, we don't have anything for you. I said, well, may I have a letter or a pink slip or something? We don't have that either. And so they put me out, and that was 45 seconds, I think.
That was Ira?
That was it. That's right. Ira Berman, Jewish.
Mm.
And that was the end of that. So
this was this past Tuesday, then?
That's right. That's when I found out I was fired.
I see an article in the LA Times, actually, it looks like an editorial. Did you see that piece?
Right, I heard about it. Yes, some people told me about it.
And in the Huffington Post?
Right, I saw that.
Right. Were you contacted by any other media?
Well, only Fox News. I did that, Lies, and KTLA. That was Lies. Just those two. And I've done some phone interviews.
Mm-hmm. And did anybody approach you to make some kind of formal apology for what you said?
Of course not. No, I would not even do that. I haven't done anything wrong, so I have nothing to apologize for.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. You see people who say similar things, like Mel Gibson or Rick Sanchez, who used to be a talking head on one of those stations, CNN or MSNBC, or Oliver Stone or whoever it is. As soon as they say something like you said, they're attacked by the Anti-Defamation League, and they want an apology, and then they apologize, and then the ADL comes back and says, you didn't apologize enough, you need to apologize more. It seems like there's some kind of sophisticated, well-oiled apparatus that keeps people from stating their opinion about this, which many observers would consider to be the last taboo in America. Now, you talked about the First Amendment and that this should be your First Amendment right to be able to say anything. In fact, you can say anything about anybody in this country. But as soon as you mention anything about Jew or Jewish or Zionist Jew, you get the wrath of pretty much everybody down on you. Obviously, you've thought about that. Why do you think that is? Do you think it goes back to the money control, or do you think it's something deeper than that?
It's very deep. I think the Jewish people have set up a very, very tight organization in this country, and it's very scary that they have frightened the American people to the point that if you say the word Jewish, I have talked to people one-on-one, maybe another teacher, just one-on-one, and if I mention the word Jew, they start walking away very slowly. It's almost like they're afraid. I think the Jewish people, they've done a good job. What they've done is they've taken the Holocaust, and they have taken it and used it to the point where they're telling us we were killed, 6 million of us, and if anybody else tries to do it again, we'll get them. So they've put the ADL and all these organizations in place to make sure that they can do all the dirt they want to do to us in this country. And if we say something, that they'll get us. And I think that that is a form of terrorism in itself. That is worse than the era of McCarthy, where the word communist was a bad word. I think that what the Jews are doing is treason also. It's to the point where the American people are frozen. They don't know what to do. They're being abused and misused. And the Jews have done this intentionally. This is not something that's just happening. It's intentional, and it's set in place to put fear into the American people's hearts. And when they fired me and published it, that put fear into Americans' hearts. And I must stand up and fight that, because if I don't, then that tells the other people in America that if you say the word Jew, and if you say something like Jews and that they're Zionist and that they control the Federal Reserve Bank and you don't like that, that you can be blackballed. Well, I have to stand up against that. So, yes, they know what they're doing, exactly what they're doing. And I'm saying, as a nation, we cannot allow that, them to have that threat over our heads. That means they can do anything to us that they want to do, and we better not say a word. They have their people in place to do that, and it's almost like it's a conspiracy against our nation. They have frightened the American people, and I'm just letting them know that they haven't frightened me, that I'm going to stand up against them, because there is someone greater than they are. They may control all of our monetary resources, and they may have all of their people in office to protect them, but there is someone greater that can take them all out. And what I'm asking the American people to do is we stand and we ban these Zionist Jews, especially those 9 bankers in the Federal Reserve, from this nation. And we take their passports and we ban their entire families down to 10 generations. We want them out of this nation. Take over our Federal Reserve, because based on my research, if Congress takes over the Federal Reserve and prints the money, we can be out of debt within a year or two. So all of this debt is not necessary, because it's taxing us and it's killing the American people, all this tax and stuffing their pockets. So no, it's not something that's just happening by chance. This is all set up, and what they did to me. Anybody who says anything about the Jews, they make sure they parade us in front of the world, telling them what I did, and it's also telling everybody, if you do it, if you say what she said, we'll get you too. And I'm not going to go down like that. I'm going to fight.
You might want to change your home phone number.
Only you have it. No, believe me, I never use the home number. I use the cell. 3 people have it. But you're right. If it gets that bad, right, I'll just disconnect it.
As far as my research goes, what you said is entirely accurate. And this is based on empirical evidence and anecdotal evidence. Just the fact that this country has such a remarkable and open political system has allowed these groups of people to gain a foothold and, ironically, use the First Amendment against the citizens of the country. And, as you said, put some kind of a fear in people that they better not say the word Jew and then say something that might be considered negative. I mean, if you could say, hey, Jews are great. I love Zionist Jews. They're the best things in the world. You wouldn't have been fired, of course. But anytime you associate Jews or Zionist Jew with something negative, which also happens to be the truth or a fact, then no First Amendment, right? You're an American, yes, but we're actually living under a system of Zionist Jew-Israeli domination, it seems, because we're not allowed as Americans to voice our opinions about that one thing. Do you think that's true, or are there other topics that we can't talk about?
Very true. The other thing I think that's dangerous that they have done, they've taken God out of our country. Our founding fathers built this nation on God. Even though a lot may have been going on, slavery and everything else, they still put God first. They have taken it out of the schools. Our children, you wouldn't believe the stress that we as teachers go through in these schools. Our kids are so fired up, it's not even funny. Zionist Jews have brought every form of perversion imaginable into our country. I also say that when the Federal Reserve Bank was taken over by the Jews, it happened in the year 1913 when Senator Nelson Aldrich, he was the grandfather of the Rockefellers, he pushed the Federal Reserve Act through Congress just before Christmas when Congress was on vacation. And President Woodrow Wilson passed the Federal Reserve Act. And President Wilson later said that he had unwittingly ruined his country. So I say when that happened, 1913, our country suffered a coup d'etat. That means our country was overthrown. That's when the Zionist Jews took over the banks and started printing our money. We suffered a coup d'etat in 1913, and in 2011, we're seeing how that coup d'etat, that taking over of our government, has practically destroyed our country. And what I'm saying is we have to have some Americans who see past themselves, because our media now make people just want to think about themselves. We have to think about our children, grandchildren. We have to think about the future, and we must stand up against this and get our Federal Reserve Bank out of the hands of these nine Zionist Jews into the hands of our Congress people.
And of course, 1913 was the year that, and you mentioned it earlier, the year that I think it was the 16th Amendment, the income tax was passed in conjunction, as you're saying,
right,
with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. And that was done, the Federal Reserve Act was done, I think, maybe 2 days before Christmas, right? Something like that, when no one was there.
Right. And also the income tax, that's illegal. We don't have any states who ratify that. They started doing that, taking our taxes because they had to have it paid back, these monies. But if you check the Constitution, the Income Tax Act is illegal. It was never ratified. But Americans need to wake up our country. I think we have some intelligent people in our country. I think the problem is courage. Our people have been sort of dumbed down, and they have a lot of fear in them. You cannot have fear in you. This country was built by people who were courageous. They wanted this land and this country, and they fought and died for it. I think if we send our soldiers into other countries to fight, then we should be brave enough and strong enough to fight in our own country. Because if we don't, we won't have a country. And I'm saying that these Zionist Jews are sick people. It's not by coincidence that they were thrown out of 109 countries. They have a history of going into countries and raping the nations, taking them over. They practice cartels, price fixing, bid rigging, product building, and they lie. They refuse to deal. They have group boycotts against countries. They charge excessive and illegal interest rates on loans. They're very deceitful when they're dealing in business. They have frequent bankruptcies. So that's why countries have thrown them out. Somebody has to talk about this, and some people know the truth. They know this, but they won't say it. I'm going to say it, and we need to talk about it, and we need to tell our children. We need to teach our children who the Jewish people are and their history, that they've been thrown out of 109 countries and all of this. We need to know that, and I think we should even bring it into the schools, because the history books in the schools nowadays, they don't put the true Jewish history in them. So I think we have a lot of work to do in this country, but I'm willing to try to save my country, even if it costs me my life.
Do you think that they are too infested within the infrastructure, the power infrastructure of this country, to eject them and get the country back?
I was asked that question online, and I told them that I'm coming from the position of a higher level. I'm not dealing in the material. I'm coming from a spiritual level. And I think from that level, they can be taken out. It's almost like you look through the land and you see all of this and you say, oh, it's impossible. I'm not looking that way. I'm coming from a higher level, a more spiritual level, a level of consciousness where they can be taken out. I won't have to do a thing. I won't have to do a thing. God will take care of it all. All I have to do is get the message out to the people, and that's what I'm doing. But as far as them having all the goods and the weapons and everything, yes, they have all of that. But that's not how I'm looking at winning this. It's going to be won in a different way.
So it's not going to be won on an earthly battlefield, you're saying. It's going to be won on a spiritual battlefield.
That's right. And we've seen that throughout history, things like that happen. It happens in the Bible. I mean, we've seen it. It happens. It could be through different kind of catastrophes, weather. I mean, we don't know. The Jewish people just might start falling out dead. God works in mysterious ways. But I know he has always used me throughout my life. And I had to meditate the other day saying, Lord, is this what you want me on? Look at these giants. You want me on this project? And he said, don't worry about it. I've got your back. So I'm not worried about it.
Do you have some Jewish friends?
Oh, yes, I love Jewish people. Like I said, I grew up around them. Well, let me put it like this. When I meet people, I don't ask them, are you Jewish? You know, I just don't. I'm sure I've been friends with Jewish people, Irish. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I love everybody. But the Jewish people, I know they're doing wrong. It's just like if you had a son or a daughter. You love your children. But if you know your children are doing wrong and you turn the other cheek, what kind of parent are you? I love the Jewish people, and it hurts me that they're destroying not just this nation, but the world. They have their hands all over the world, all these wars. They start wars, and they fund both sides of the war, killing people. I mean, they're doing so much evil, they're going to destroy the world. Somebody has to stand up. I know Jewish people. I love Jewish people. I remember my mom used to send me, and they would give my mom loans and things like that. She'd send me over to the stores and the pawn shop, and then I'd get the money and take it back to her. They're wonderful people, but I don't know what happened. They've turned evil. I have emails from Jewish people telling me they're Jewish, and they don't like what the Jewish people are doing, these Zionists. So it's not all Gentiles. There are some wonderful Jewish people who don't like it, and they're letting me know.
Right. And how do you feel now after the 18th on Tuesday when they abruptly and ignominiously let you go without even a letter or giving you any explanation? And of course, that was done on purpose to humiliate you. But after that happened, how do you feel?
I mean, it's not a good feeling, but I could take care of myself, and I did what I thought was right, and I'd do it again. But what bothers me is the superintendent of schools, John Deasy. He went on the air and in print and said that he didn't appreciate what I did, and yes, he fired me because I mentioned the word Zionist Jews, and I shouldn't have done that. Well, I found out that this man shouldn't even be in that position as the superintendent. He forged his resume to get the job. Yes, he claims he got a PhD, and they found out he only had 9 courses. He also said some other things on his resume that was not the truth, and the board members voted him in anyway. He said that he worked for a certain organization, and they found out he didn't. So this man is a phony. So maybe we need to work on getting him out of office, because he told a lot of lies on his resumes about who he was. And he went on the air and in print talking about me and how he didn't appreciate what I said, even though I did it on my own time, and that he was right in firing me. But I think he needs to be investigated.
Was this public knowledge before you brought it out?
Yes, but from what I read, the people who brought it out, the school board members, Los Angeles Unified School Board members who voted for him, they just ignored it. He told them that he had a position in the doctoral program at Loyola Marymount University from 2003 to present. Present means before he got the job at LAUSD about 6 months ago. And they investigated it, and they called the school. The school said, quote, we cannot find DC listed as a current or past faculty member. We will look into that.
I'm sure you will.
He once fired me, so he may be out of a job. He's making over $200,000 a year.
Well, I'm sure he's going to be up there on your website, which I want to get the web address for that in a second. But I want to ask you, of course, this just happened all this week. What are you doing for work now?
Well, it happened Tuesday. And, of course, I mean, with this popularity, I'll be getting some calls, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really worried. Like I said, I owned my own school for 12 years, so I was an entrepreneur, took care of myself for 12 years. So I know how to do all those things. I have more skills than just teaching. I'm a computer scientist. I write software. I can go back there. So I'm not really worried. Believe me, if I was worried, I'd be somewhere crying.
Good. That's good. Now, you are of African-American ancestry. And
yes.
You grew up in Chicago. Did you yourself experience quite a bit of racism?
No. Tell you the truth, I didn't know anything about racism. And that's the truth. And I tell people that, they're amazed. What my mom did, and I think she was a very wise woman, she never talked about race. Never. So when I became an adult and started working in corporate America, everybody was everybody to me. I mean, it didn't matter if you were white, orange. She has passed on, but I thank her for that. And I know she went through a lot in the South. As a matter of fact, my grandfather's father, which is my great-grandfather, he lived to be 100 years old. He was born into slavery. He was born in 1862 and died in 1962. So I have some history in my family, but my mother never brought race up. And because of that, I never thought that I was inferior to anyone. I felt just as good as anyone because she never made me feel like I was inferior. As a matter of fact, when the movie Roots came out, she wouldn't watch it. She never emphasized race. And I want to thank her for that, because I think that's why I was able to speak out. I don't feel any different than anybody else. Never have. And I don't feel superior to people either. I feel that we're all equal. Right. We all come from God, and one day we're going to leave this earth and leave everything behind.
Why don't we go over the website? I want to see what you have up your sleeve here. Are these Zionist Jews?
The website is change.org/petition/first, 1ST.
Right.
And then a dash, mm-hmm. amendment-rights-for-freedom.
Okay, so for, F-O-R.
Uh-huh, then dash freedom.
Right.
Then dash of, then dash speech.
And so folks would come to this website, change.org/petitions/1st-amendment-rights-for-freedom-of-speech, and they can sign the petition.
I have been getting some support. People are signing the petition, emailing me, telling me they're with me and that my First Amendment right has been violated.
You're looking for 10,000 signatures, is that right?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not? Right.
First name, last name, email address, city, state, zip code. Why are you signing? Add a reason, optional. Sign, and then there's a checkbox there, display my signature publicly. And that's it.
Yeah.
If you're interested in supporting what Patricia has to say, whether you like it or not, and of course, I think most people really haven't dug as deeply as you have into this issue. I would be comfortable saying that they haven't, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, this isn't a subject that people can dig easily into because the information is not readily available because, as you said earlier, it's been excised from the books. And history has changed, and there's the political correctness of the times. So this information that you've gathered over your life wasn't something that, oh, you could go to the library and pick out a book and read about Jews and how they've been ejected 109 times from different countries. Would the latest be Hitler's Germany?
Hitler's Germany and then the Arab countries. And here's one other idea I might have here,
yeah. That
after we expel the Zionist Jews from the United States, we should consider giving them some land, a homeland, because as we know, I've been hearing this since I was a kid, they refer to Jews as wandering Jews. They've just never had a homeland because people hate them wherever they go. So I think that's something we need to look into. We can carve out some land for them just to calm them down so that they can stop their barbaric behaviors when they go into different countries and actually give them some land, because this is, I think, what they really want. But we don't want to hurt anybody else in the meantime. I mean, the Palestinians want to make them happy too. But I think we should think about, as a world, not just as a nation, to carve out some land for the Jewish people somewhere.
Doesn't history show that the Zionist Jews need to infiltrate a society like a parasite and live off the host? Why would they be happy with an alien land?
Right. Well, I think what we need to do is help them. And you're right. They do have a sickness. And this sickness comes from the fact that the Jewish people were living in caves and hillsides of Europe. And they were barbaric. I mean, they were prehistoric, you may as well say. They walked on all fours, their hands and their knees. They didn't know how to bury their dead. They couldn't cook their food. And Moses was a real person. Moses had the job of going into those hills and cavesides and trying to civilize the Jews. And he did that. He got them off their hands and knees. He showed them how to bury their dead, cook their food. But he did the best that he can do. And now, since they are out of the caves and hillsides, they are missing an area of being civilized, and that's socialization. They refuse to socialize with the people in every country they go to. They will socialize as far as selling you goods and taking over your country, but as far as integrating within the countries and the people, they refuse to do that, even to this day. So we have not, as a world, been able to show them how to be compassionate, how to act civilized, how to not want to just be greedy and take everything, because they refuse to socialize with us. So I understand there's something that's in Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard discovered. It's called auditing, and that's where they take a person and sit them down and talk to them and go into their lives about everything about their lives and the pains that they've had, and it sort of brings people out and it changes them. Well, we want to recommend that to the Jewish people so they can start doing that, so they can stop acting so uncivilized. But you're right, we have to change them within before we can give them their own land, because like you said, they will just probably try to still take over other lands and be barbaric. But yes, they are our sisters and brothers. They are part of this world, just like anybody else, and they're like our little brothers and sisters who are not well. So I do have a compassion for them. We as a nation, as a world, We have to show more compassion for the Jewish people and try to help them, cure them from this sickness that they have. It's definitely a sickness, and we have to show more compassion. It won't work through killing them, because you just can't kill every Jewish person. I mean, Hitler tried it. We're going to have to do something on a level of compassion to show them that we love them, we don't want to hurt them, we just want to help them and get them some psychological help, and I think Scientology will do it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the element of inbreeding has anything to do with this issue that we're talking about?
I've been studying about that, and it could be, because it's been recommended that we don't do that. You know, as people, we shouldn't have incest among us with our families. So I don't know for sure, but it could be that. But I think it's more on the level of they don't want to assimilate, they don't want to socialize, and that from their history, they were in caves and very primitive, and they lost the identity of who they were and everything. So I think maybe both play a part, but we need to help them. They're not well. And if we don't, they're going to destroy the whole world. I mean, look at what they've done here in the United States. They've taken over the country, and they're driving everybody crazy, people sleeping on the bridges. They control the money, so they print what they want, don't print what they want. They know what they're doing. It's a form of genocide. They put so much money out here, and they tighten up when they want to tighten up. They crank up the printing press. They know what they're doing. They should not be controlling our money. A group of people who've been thrown out of 109 nations, and we know they're psychologically ill, they should not be handling our money in this country and controlling us. Those people are ill, and so they're ruining America. And we have to stand up. It's almost like we may have to go to war.
I think a lot of people would agree with that. Unfortunately, it's gotten to the point where we might have to go to war within our own country, a civil war.
Yes, yeah. Yes. We need to bring our troops home to help fight in our own country. I mean, they don't need to be over in these different countries. We have big problems right here in the United States. And I say the first step is to get the Federal Reserve Bank out of the control of those 9 Jewish Zionist Jews. Once we do that, I think we're almost there. But as long as they control our money, they control us. And they control our president and all of our representatives in Washington, D.C. and around the country, even our state legislators. They're controlling everybody because everybody's afraid of them. See, it's just not me. They're looking at me, too, the legislators. They say, who is this lady who's speaking up? They don't have the guts to say what I said.
Right.
They know that the Jewish people will fund other people to run against them for office, and then they'll be out of a job.
Absolutely. For the listeners, if you don't already know this, these are just facts that can pretty much easily be dug up, and you can see that this is the case. Jewish groups even put out political hit lists, and they're very open about it. And they'll say, well, let's get this person out of office. This person is not sufficiently pro-Jew or pro-Israel. So they want to have it both ways. And what you're saying is they can't anymore. And it's time to come out of the shadows, and it's time to face the music, because people are sick and tired of it. You're sick and tired of it. You didn't plan on this happening, but you're not going to back down. You're not going to shut up. As a matter of fact, you're going to go on the offensive, right?
That's right.
Patricia McAllister, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. It's a fascinating story. You're a fascinating person, and looking forward to speaking to you in the future and visiting your new websites whenever they'll be up.
Thank you very much.